Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to BYT Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. BYT Radio stands for Brightest Young Things Radio. Brightest Young Things is an arts and culture website based out of Washington, D.C., with a presence in New York and Chicago. We were recording this episode early because this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, our true crime festival, Death Becomes Us, is in New York for the first time. So I will be in New York with the rest of the BYT staff, and it will be very fun. If you are in New York, consider coming. Go to deathbecomesus.com for more information. This week's episode is with Robin Bell. Robin Bell is a projectionist artist, and he's been a friend of BYT for as long as BYT has been around. He is currently an artist with a museum show in a very fancy museum. He's at the Corcoran with his show Open. Now, Open is a wonderful show. We covered its opening, no pun intended, and we talked a little bit about its closing in this episode, but that's not exactly the reason why we talked to Robin this week. Robin had a run-in with the Capitol Police last week, and they confiscated his equipment. Now, that equipment has been returned because there's been a little public outcry about a very specific amendment that has recently been enforced, let's say. Listen to the end of the show for more on that. Without further ado, here's Robin Bell.
So, yeah, today's been nonstop, kind of like the last week, but you know, I'm literally like standing in the middle of the Corcoran as we speak. Like, so it's kind of almost fitting to be talking about the First Amendment, free speech, art, and activism right here, right now.
Directly
across the street from the White House. Yeah.
Let's give everyone a little recap about who you are, what you do. You've been on this show before, BYT, and you've known about us. We've known about you for a very, very long time. In the past, I don't know, I think it's fair to say 2 years, your work has become a lot bigger in both recognition and in terms of scale. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. So
definitely. I mean, we're growing.
What you do is you're the person that projects messages and art and protests onto buildings. And you've been doing it for a very long time, and it's kind of crossed over into sort of the mainstream. Like you said, you're at the Corcoran right now. There is a art walk tomorrow night that GW, the school that owns the Corcoran, is participating in. And one of the stops is your exhibit, Open, which is currently on display. And another exhibit is Four Freedoms, the paintings by Norman Rockwell. So you are in an established museum, like you said, across the street from the White House. And in the past 10 days, your life has taken a small turn, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, we definitely had something like a first for us, which was, having our, projection equipment, confiscated, and had one of our team members arrested. This is, the first time this has happened in like 16 years of doing projections outside. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty, it was a little bit startling. I mean, especially, we've done this at the exact same location. You know, we have a pretty good rapport with, the local and national police. We've been very specific about where the walls are and how we fit into it. So it was pretty shocking to see all of our, see that kind of the way it went down, which included, one of our crew people being arrested, and then all of our equipment being thrown in the back of a pickup truck by the Capitol Police. It's been a wild week.
Do you remember what you were projecting at the time? Because if memory serves correct, it wasn't lewd. It wasn't obscene. It wasn't a four-letter word. It wasn't an explicit picture. I think it was a pretty basic message.
Yeah, we were projecting discrimination is wrong, which, I would hope that every single person in this country and world could agree on, which is discriminated against people is wrong. This was around the Equality Act. So, that was kind of the news of the day. So we were projecting about that. So, if you put it in a scale of like 1 to 10 of like something that I think people would have a problem with, I was shocked that, you know, there would be any issue with what we were doing. You know, it seemed pretty clear, you know, that, you know, I was surprised.
Now,
just to say the least.
What building were you projecting on?
We were projecting from the sidewalk outside of the Rayburn building, and the image could be seen on the Rayburn building.
Now, the Rayburn building is part of Congress. It's part of the Capitol.
Yes, exactly. So what had happened is basically that, you know, the way that the police had explained it to us on the street was that a regulation or law had just passed just weeks before, and that what we were doing was now considered illegal, and that, you know, that it's an arrestable offense and they don't have to give any warnings. And, you know, this is a complete surprise. Like, I mean, the thing that was really surprising was the officer kept on saying, this was in the Washington Post. You should have known about this. And, you know, literally, like, if you Google, like, Robin Bell Washington Post, is projection legal, you'll find a detailed article that the Washington Post wrote about what we're doing and how it is legal. So I was like, you know, if there was anybody who would know that the law had changed, it would most likely be us. And so we ended up calling up the Washington Post and going, hey, what happened? Did this change? And no one we talked to could see where it changed. And, you know, we did at a certain point find out that the law had potentially changed, but we don't know exactly when and how. And it definitely wasn't in the Washington Post. And, the bottom line is with all forms of law, you know, they're up to interpretation, and also, you know, the officers have some discretion on the street of how they handle this. And this is clearly just an abuse of power by the sergeant of the Capitol Police, just, you know, taking a new regulation and, you know, giving the maximum possible kind of punishment they could on the street, you know.
Now, this is just
a lot of words. Yeah.
This is just for federal buildings, though. So, in theory, what you've been doing at, say, the Trump Hotel, you could still continue to do, and that is legal.
Yes, and you know, we'll still, you know, we're not sure if what we were doing. You know, we're going to see. You know, how it's going to play out over the next few months. But, you know, from what we had been doing, because we'd projected before on that location. So, you know, if indeed the law had changed, we kind of want to know how it had changed. But this new regulation, and it was an amendment to a regulation, you know, literally it's like a one sentence addition on like a 400 page document of traffic regulations. So it was pretty hidden. But this only affects the Capitol, the Capitol grounds. Not the rest of the city.
In a way, this could be a very good thing for you. This arrest, this confiscation of equipment could be a good thing for your career. And I know that might sound a little odd, considering that you're in it right now, but there's a reason why people care about this stuff. And if you're creating something temporary, because all projection is temporary, this will now have a much longer lasting impact than just projecting discrimination is wrong onto the Rayburn building.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that we, you know, our work doesn't happen in a vacuum. And, you know, the reason why I think people like it is because we're speaking truth to power. And if anything, this will, you know, this will help clarify what the laws are and, you know, hopefully let people know what their rights are so they feel comfortable speaking out and using whatever technology they can to, you know, use their First Amendment with their speech. I mean, the interesting thing is that I think that, you know, we're at the beginning of figuring out how the technologies that we use, how they are used in a democratic country, you know, and how do we look at like what space is there and how does these visuals, I mean, I don't see any difference between what we're doing and someone holding up a sign in front of a building. The only difference is ours is, you know, more temporary. We don't have to print anything up, and it's a little bit larger. But, you know, it's pretty much the same thing as holding up a banner or chanting.
Yes, but...
But
more people are going to share what they photograph and film of yours than most any sign at most any rally. And the fact that you are in a museum speaking from your own exhibition in the nation's capital is proof of that. What you do is not just, it's yes, sure. In theory, three chords are just three chords. But who's playing them kind of matters.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing projection. We've been doing, like, you know, I've been an artist. You know, I've been taking being an artist pretty seriously most of my life. You know, definitely my entire adult life. So, you know, you'd hope that at a certain point you just kind of get a little bit better at it. And it's, you know, I'm really humbled that people like what we're saying, and that, you know, we're able to kind of have a communication. And that's kind of the thing that's, you know, like right now, you know, being right across the street from the White House and bringing up these issues that, you know, I think are really important. It's powerful. You know, it's powerful for me as an individual, but I think it's also powerful for the larger community. You know, we had this open-end event, and it was just amazing to see so many people that I've known for, you know, the last 20 years that I've worked with or have known or have seen my work just grow, and to see everybody kind of in this space. You know, the Corcoran building is beautiful, but you know it has changed since, you know, when I first started working. And I worked at the Corcoran 12 years ago, you know, as a teacher, and with the change with GW and the National Gallery of Arts, you know, it's a space that, you know, if you ask most people in DC, they'd say that the building is either closed or it doesn't exist anymore. And, you know, what we're doing is we're trying to activate a space, because I think that the physical space is so important. And a place to show art, like the work we do directly across from the points of power is absolutely essential. Like, people who work at the White House have to walk by, you know, and people who, you know, want to just see the artwork have to walk by the White House to get to see us. So it creates, you know, a real direct connection, which I'm excited about. You know, I mean,
why project anywhere else during the exhibition if you have the exhibition? Why waste your time projecting on the Congress?
You know, I think it depends. I mean, like that one, it just made sense because that was the day where it happened. You know, we haven't been doing as many projections out and about since we've had the exhibition up, but it just made sense to, I don't know, I can't always explain it. Just sometimes you're like, yeah, I think it makes sense to go out tonight. And just like tonight, we're going to go out to the museum and we're going to project, we're going to project about the First Amendment on a graphic of the First Amendment right on Pennsylvania Avenue. I think that, you know, it's, you know, I don't have a good answer to your question.
That's okay.
I just not made sense.
Did you ever wheat paste or spray paint or tag things?
You know, I didn't. I think I helped some friends wheat paste at some point. You know, I like that stuff. But it's not really, you know, I mean, I feel like very fortunate. Like, video was kind of this thing. I studied as a printmaker, but by the time I finished school, I was like, I want to make videos. I want to make projections. So, you know, it just seemed to be more of a medium that worked better with my kind of process. So, you know, but they're really similar. They're all like, it's all the process of like, how do people see it on the street, and how does it, you know, I think, you know, good street art get seen because of the quality of the people that make it.
Well, I ask for two reasons. One is because I want to know if you get a physical sensation when you're projecting in an unapproved space. Because whenever you're tagging something, whenever you're weed pasting something, there's the threat of the police catching you because you're doing something illegal. But what you're doing, well, up until recently, was always legal. So I wondered if you get that thrill. And the other part, the other reason I'm asking is because I want to know if you feel like you're putting out your thing to prove that you're alive, but because it's inherently temporary, you don't get that. Does this make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the thing, I think that, you know, there's one thing that I do love. It's the idea of when people can see something that they weren't expecting randomly. There's like, there's a certain feeling of like when you have a projection up and someone's walking down the street, whatever they're doing, and all of a sudden they stop and they go, whoa, look at that. Whether or not I'm allowed to project, you know, I don't get too caught up on, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm going to do something like I'm not allowed to do. It's more like I get caught up on more like, what's going to be the reaction to people seeing it there? I mean, but part of the process of us also doing the projections is proving that it is legal. And, you know, I mean, that's like is still a big thing. It's like, you know, just like with what happened last week is, you know, you know that something might be legal, but whether or not you can still do it at night with law enforcement who might or might not know the laws, or, you know, what we might be seeing now is what laws are being changed to stop us, which is a whole other thing. You know, like what happens if that is happening? I probably shouldn't speak too much more about that, but, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, part of by doing something, you figure out what the line is.
Do you feel like you're flying too close to the sun right now?
No. I think we're, you know, I mean, I think the whole planet's too close to the sun. I think, you know, right now, like, you know, like, it's crazy. Like this weekend, you know, the president of Brazil was, you know, across the street talking to Trump about, you know, a military, you know, invasion of Venezuela. That's not like fake news. It's like, what's going on? And they're like, okay, like, if that kind of thing is happening, you know, it seems to me like now, you know, it's like you see something, you say something, or if you think you have an impact, you know, you have to use that opportunity in that time. So I think, you know, as much as one could be, I'm rested, you know, I'm thinking about clearly what I'm doing, how it impacts. But then, you know, as an individual, you know, being trying to be smart about not burning myself out, because no one needs, you know, like, you know, I really truly believe like everyone's important, even people we disagree with. So we got to like stay strong and be smart and, you know, and create like healthy dialogue. So, you know, I mean, it's huge to do a show. Like, I mean, like, you know, doing a museum show is a lot of work, and I've learned a lot over the last couple months. Like, it was just, it's been an honor. Like, it's, you know, we're, you know, it's like, I think is, you know, any, whatever your medium is, like, you know, when you get recognized for it, it's a really just a kind of, you know, it's humbling, it's intimidating, you know, you want to be really careful not to let it kind of, I don't know, for lack of a better word, you know, like, don't pat yourself on the back just yet. You know, the reason why people are paying attention is they care about the work you're doing, and they want to see more of that. So, you know, they're trying to kind of, it's important to kind of ground yourself. And, you know, so I don't think I'm flying too close to the sun, but I do think that the Icarus kind of like, I think it's like a lesson that we should all be talking about in general, because it's, you know, we got to be careful that we don't go too high too fast and fall down in the ocean.
Do you ever daydream about, if things turned out differently in 2016, what you'd be doing most evenings, and if you'd have a museum show in 2019?
Here's the thing. I knew I was going to still project. I don't think that, you know, I don't believe, you know, first off, like, I kind of, when I was growing up, I loved, like, what if comic books. Like, you know, like, what if, you know, whatever, you know, like what if Trump didn't win? But I think, I think that, you know, kind of what was, you know, if it wasn't now, it would be later that we'd have someone in power like this. Maybe it might not have happened when I was kind of ready, you know, like in some ways I felt like in 2016, like I really felt like this wasn't looking good. So therefore I was like, I got to get my skill set up, you know, like, you know, it's also, I think also like, you know, just on a personal level, I was like, you know, if I'm going to do this, I have to do what I do, like put more time and energy into it to make it really, like, if I'm going to do it, I have to do it right. So I feel like I was also just honing my craft in a way that, you know, the kind of, I think work builds on work. So, I mean, I don't know if, you know, as they say, like the Trump bump, I don't know, like, whether or not I'd be in the exact same place. But, like, you know, I had told myself a goal, like, 5 years ago. I was like, I want to get one of my projections in a museum. Like, I didn't know how that was going to happen, but I was like, I'm going to keep on working on my craft so that the work is good enough that if I ever get that opportunity, it'll look the best it can. And I think that's kind of a, you know, I'm like, there's one piece in particular in the museum right now, this piece called The Swamp, which, you know, in some ways we started working on that piece in 2016, which is these, like, looking at power structures and looking at people in power. And I think that piece would work whether or not we had Trump. You know, and actually we only have like a brief flash of him when we have all the other presidents of the United States. It is like work that's basically like looking at the power structure.
Do you find yourself having to talk about your art, making it less, just making it not your art anymore? Is it weird to have to interpret your stuff on a semi-permanent basis at this point?
I'm not sure. Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's funny because it's like, you know, when I first started out, I really didn't like to talk about my process or how I work. And now I realize that, like, you know, I'm really lucky if someone even wants to talk about it. And it's just, you know, it's part of the process of just explaining. I feel really lucky that, I mean, right now, as long as I'm healthy, I can pretty much work on, or, you know, like, as far as the projections, say what I want to say if there's something that I feel that needs to be said. And that's a kind of a, you know, a relative freedom that I don't think many artists get or people get. So I'm just trying to use it wisely.
If people want to help out in any way, if people want to support what you're doing, if people, I think there's a legal situation happening with your compatriot who was arrested the other evening. How could they participate in helping out?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, you know, first, I mean, you know, I think that, I mean, the one thing is we do have a GoFundMe set up for, you know, for legal costs and whatnot. We had it set up for equipment and legal costs. Now the equipment isn't the issue. But we don't know exactly what rabbit hole we are in legally just yet. You know, it could be really easy or it could be really hard. So that's always useful. And, you know, and I think, you know, a big thing is just talking about it and, you know, and if possible, if people are in DC, definitely come to the exhibit. I mean, we're doing a really special event on for the closing night where we're really trying to bring in as many people from the community as possible, like we did for the opening night. And with this one, we're going to have performances by the Boat Burnin' for Mass Guitars. It's this guitar project, which is really incredible. Like, it just brings, like, I worked with them at the 930 Club last year, and it was like 100 guitars all playing at the same time, which is like amazing, but it's also like really loud. But this is also this like really amazing community, kind of like to see people just working together like that, you know, and also, you know, it's getting that many musicians where they all can like work together, but then also hang out before and after was really powerful. And I mean, unfortunately, the person who kind of founded and really was the driver behind that project, Andre Stiquette, passed away before the holidays. And, you know, he and I had talked about doing this project at the Corcoran and then being a part of it. So, you know, it's really special that, you know, that people can get back together and still do this performance. You know, I think it's kind of a statement of how, you know, life, there's a lot of curveballs, and, you know, it's bigger than any one of us. So it's really important that, you know, I appreciate the kind of like respect that the people have been giving me, but I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for like hundreds of like friends and people I've worked with who've really kind of I've worked with over these years to kind of make good work. And then, you know, the kind of the summation of all that is like the show that we have now. It's like we've, you know, it wouldn't have been possible if we hadn't had so many other projects just work out over the years. So, you know, I think that's kind of the best way to help out is, you know, just being there, you know, if you see something, say something, and, you know, hopefully, you know, the work then inspires other people to feel the confidence that they can make work that can help, you know, us better understand our existence here and how our words have power. And, you know, by working together, we can make sure that, you know, small-minded people don't destroy the planet and everybody in it.
The reason why Robin Bell's equipment was confiscated the other night is because of Capitol Police Board Order 19.01, Amendment to the Traffic Regulations for the United States Capitol Grounds, Chapter 12, Sections 1 and 2. This is from Chapter 12, Section 2.20 of the Traffic Regulations for the United States Capitol Grounds, January 20th, 2015, is hereby amended as follows. 512.2.20 Prohibited demonstration areas. No person or group of any size may engage in demonstration activity on the steps of the United States Capitol, on the steps of any building, on Capitol grounds, or in any otherwise closed or restricted for official use. In addition, projection of images on any building on Capitol grounds shall not be permitted. This section closes with, so ordered and approved on the 17th day of January 2019, run date, February 6th, 2019. So there's three different dates there of when this was added to the website, uspc.gov. It's under the Capitol. Listen, it's a very, very long URL, and we will link to it in the BYT description of the show if you would like to brush up on why Robin Bell's equipment was seemingly taken out of nowhere. His show, Open, runs at the Corcoran through March 31st, 2019. If you would like to attend that closing night show that we talked about, there's a link to that in our description on brightestyoungthings.com. We'll be back with a live show next week. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful night.